The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 7th of January, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green, and we talking Junkanoo this morning. I have found, and here's the thing, I already knew, you know, but I didn't know. I have found somebody who I think holds the title of steward of Junkanoo. Someone who has committed themselves, right, to be a part of the oversight, right, of a culture. I used to say this thing before I had sense, can you see the plantation through the palm trees? Right, because sometimes you're so in the thick of it that you can't see what's actually happening around you. You can't actually properly locate yourself in your own environment. And can you see the plantation through the palm trees? And I think this is someone who considered that, right? And took a step outside, out from Junkanoo, to take up voluntarily, because that's how you do it, a significant role in a larger process than like just Junkanoo, but of ensuring that we can maintain and preserve the culture of Junkanoo. And so joining me in studio today is Ms. Charmaine V. Roll.
Charmaine V. Roll?
Yes.
V. Charmaine.
And V. Charmaine Roll from Junkanoo Rush. We're going to get to that conversation in a second. Mr. Newry is joining me as well in this conversation. Before we get there, just a couple of headlines, just a tiny little bit of headlines. So, in today's Tribune, headline, top of the fold, stop making us pay more fines. $300 to release your car if seized by police. With new changes to the road traffic regulations now in effect, Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard has urged the Davis administration to avoid burdening the public with extra fees and strict compliance measures. He stressed that there are ways to strengthen the rule of law on the road without sacrificing fairness and compassion. Mr. Pintard's comments come as the government prepares to enforce amendments to the Road Traffic Act, which will introduce fines for non-compliance to pay $300 to release their cars. I want to go back to an earlier sentence in the statement. Pintard has urged the Davis administration to avoid burdening the public with extra fees and strict compliance measures. Mr. Pintard, where are you living? As we get into the show today, I was expecting to see a headline in today's paper. It is certainly in the news. We have unfortunately experienced another tragic traffic fatality. Number four. We didn't even make it out of the first week of January yet. And so I agree with you. There are measures that we could put in place. There are ways to strengthen the rule of law on the road without sacrificing fairness and compassion. There are. There are definitely, but we need strict compliance measures, sir. That's exactly what we need, not what we don't need. And let's start here, Mr. Michael Pintard, leader of the Free National Movement. Are you able to cause and compel your own party members, your own parliamentary colleagues, their support staff, members, general members of the FNM party, and broader supporters and voters? Can you compel them to follow the law on their own? Like you could, can you do that? Can you convince the people who you deem to command the support of to do what they know they ought to do when they know they ought to do it? Have you considered that you don't need to be the government to do that? Have you considered that this is your audition? This is the trial run? Like if you could come to the parliament, I come to you today to tell you that the people in my party just follow the law. And I stake my career on it. Because within our party, we have figured out how to compel and convince our members to do what they ought to do when they know they ought to do it. The statement, while it may be well-intentioned, is callous and offensive on the heel of 4 traffic fatalities for the year before we finished out the first week. And at this point, there's still been no mention of whether you've dragged the lake. Am I to presume, as an ordinary citizen, that you all know who the driver of the car is? And you're also not going to tell us that either. You know that they're alive and well because you've identified them and made a determination to not share that identity with the public. Is that what's happening? Oh no, Mr. Pintard. We need even more stricter. We even need even more strict compliance measures. Something that will convince and compel those in authority to follow and enforce the law, not break it. Red plates, black plates, white and blue plates, blue and white plates, green plates, yellow plates. All these plates drive as if they've been authorized to ignore the law. It is out of control. Another quick headline, just something that has to be read into the record. We're not going to go into the story, but please, when you get a chance today, after you've bought the Nassau Guardian, buy the Nassau Guardian, please, first. Great stories in here, like Moody's, country's debt for nature swap credit, positive. Government urged to lower food costs. Physicians threaten action over outstanding industrial agreement. Mother who admitted to child cruelty failed to appear for sentencing. Who shall advocate on behalf of the child? And in today's Tribune, I just want to read this headline into the record. A 61-year-old jailed for sex attack on 16-year-old girl. As we transition, I want to remind you of something. See, how do I know we have a crisis? Age of consent is a stop sign, too. Age of consent is a stop sign that we have stopped adhering to the same way we've stopped adhering to the stop sign in the road. 61-year-old man jailed for sex attack on 16-year-old. Unacceptable, intolerable. Again, all y'all with this bravado, to run people off the road, ignore red lights and stop signs. The boy this morning that just tried to launch into the road in front of John Shea Food Store, even though the light was green. Why don't y'all take that bravado, turn inward to your communities and your homes, and stop the proliferation of violence against the vulnerable? Since y'all is big man and big woman. Because the degree of hostility and aggression that I receive just for being an advocate for better driving cultures is wild and outrageous. But imagine if you turned that bravado to spaces that really need it. That's all. Again, if reports are correct, we experienced our 4th traffic fatality yesterday evening, approximately around 10:30 p.m. on Carmichael Road near the Super Value warehouse, where apparently a large delivery vehicle was attempting to turn into the warehouse lot when the accident occurred. Dear texter, I got a text here. Tell me why. Continue, expound on that text, texter, and then I'll read it. That's just wild. So, we talking Junkanoo this morning. Now, I have assumed myself a part of the Junkanoo conversation, A, because I'm a Bahamian, B, because I'm not just a Junkanoo, but I am a member of the greatest scrap group in the history of the whole world white people in Junkanoo called the Spirit. And if you all mess with me, I'm going to bring another group to Bay Street called the Anglo-Saxons. Since we haven't figured out the rules around names. The Anglo-Saxons. But also, I assume myself a part of the Junkanoo conversation, because if figures that were shared recently are correct, and the Boxing Day and New Year's Day parades alone extract up to or close to $35 million a year to be able to have them, then that means that I am also, and you are also, a participant in this conversation. Because anything that can extract $35 million from our economy should be everybody's business. Now, that's how I get to the conversation this morning. But I would like our guests, the Charmaine Rule, the
as in Vanessa.
Right, the Charmaine Rule.
Right.
Joining us this morning to talk Junkanoo, I'd like her to introduce herself and then tell us how she is located in Junkanoo and then this sort of transition to occupy the space of steward of Junkanoo.
Well, thank you for putting that on me. I never really thought about it like that. A lot of persons tell me I'm somewhat of the guardian of Junkanoo, but good morning, Bahamas. My name is V. Charmaine Roll. I am a Junkanoo. I'm an enthusiast, okay? My Junkanoo career started at about 5 years old. Literally, my father's Dr. Winston Churchill Roll. Okay, and I have Junkanoo on both ends of my family. My Junkanoo life started in Fowler Street off East Street's shack, known as Emma Roll. It's shack through Fowler Street.
Emma Roll?
Emma Roll, that's my grandmother.
Yeah, the shack named after her.
Yeah, the house and the shack. Yeah. Emma Roll shack.
Yeah.
And so my life started in Junkanoo my dad liked to say from inception. Mm-hmm. That's his talk. But I came up to the Junkanoo world rushing. Specifically when I was younger, about 12 years old, in the back line of the Valley Boys under my uncle John Ribzenius. And then from there, you know, just doing a little scrap here and there, ended up in Roots after Barabbas, another family member of mine, said, listen, we need to all the family members go to a different group. So all of us ended up in Roots in 91. So we ended up in Roots, 1991, we ended up in Roots. And I was a marshal at that time and also a part of the design team. That year, you know, I'd been in Roots for quite some years. And, you know, after all the beating Roots was getting, I said, listen, I need to go into the judging system to really find out what takes place and what's happening, what the rules are, to see where we are falling down, this, that, and the next. So I went in and I took the exam. I became a judge. My mouth was a little stiff. You know, they were treating the judges.
It's Junkanoo. What would they expect?
they were treating the judges unfairly. And so I became a part of the independent judges Junkanoo at that time. Eventually, I became a supervisor. I was actually voted into the position of deputy chairman of the parade management with responsibility for the judges.
Okay.
Under the JCMP. And from that aspect of it, in 2000, and I think 11, I did it for about 10 years or so. In judging, I was there for another 10 years. And so from that aspect, when I came out of the judging system with the administrative end, I wanted to get into the media end of it to make sure persons understand what happens throughout the parade, tell them about the rules. And so from traveling from every area of Junkanoo, it allowed me to see different ends because I wasn't in the fire anymore. Mm-hmm. I was outside of the fire. So I would be able to explain to, you know, the public what they would see coming in on Bay Street, the zones, the rules, what it takes to get at the Bay Street. But I just wanted to be out there to make sure persons understood it because it was just too many questions. I hated after every parade, even with the judges, they rob us this and they rob us that. And I began to understand the public didn't really understand what it takes to get what we see happen on Bay Street. And so that's my life in it. In 2000 and 15, I started FIE's Junkanoo Rush, along with my twin, Brenton Boulroll, that's my cousin. And from that, we ended up on Cable 12 for a period of time. We were also at Charles Carter Studio on the radio a period of time. And then when social media took over, we ended up in the social media aspect of it.
All right. Now tell people, so you did a live review of both parades this year?
Yes, I did.
Tell people where they could find it.
Okay. You can find us on Facebook at Junkanoo Rush, and I'm also the administrator for about three or four different pages. But Junkanoo Rush is the main page, and we also transfer the Let's Talk Junkanoo, Junkanoo Be Fun. So it's a continuum of pages, but it's Junkanoo Rush on Facebook.
All right. Now, there's a multitude of pages.
Mm-hmm.
Are there also a multitude of shows, like opportunities to sit down and listen to Junkanoos talk about those parades specifically at that time of the year, or the Junkanoo season and Junkanoo culture generally?
No, I do Junkanoo 365 days a year. My page is active. We always have information. Right now, before Junkanoo started, like from about, say, September, I normally get a copy of the rules and I start putting the rules out there.
Okay.
I had a series that's called Unsung Heroes of Junkanoo, where we went into the Junkanoo shacks right, I think, around when COVID was happening. And so I was able to go in my archives and post a lot of stuff that we were doing, the Junkanoo parades, going into the shack, interviewing persons like who's cleaned the shack, or persons that you don't see literally those faces on Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I did a continuation of it where we did behind the scenes. Normally, every parade, I reach there hours before time so you can see what happens on Bay Street, see how the costumes are assembled, people coming in, the camaraderie ship in the back streets. This year, from about November, I went into all of the shacks and I looked at how I normally look at Junkanoo. I said, you know what, we're going to start off with lead costume first. So I was mm-hmm. visiting all the different shacks, pulling out persons, interviewing them, letting them talk about themselves, talk about the costumes, how all of this happens to go to Bay Street. All of this is found on Junkanoo Rush page.
You see my eyes dancing, like
yes,
I could hear the music coming out the gate, right?
Yes.
So I can tell you right now, I can need you to identify a couple other stakeholders in this space. And the name I think about right now is like Nash Ferguson, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And y'all go talk to the School of the Public and Oral History Unit at UB and go talk to the cruise port about building a product so you could monetize the work that you're doing.
Right. I spoke to a few persons about
good stuff.
I just need to hook up with the right person. I'm glad you brought me on because people don't understand, and big up to Ms. Nash Ferguson. She saw me on the parade and she said, Charmaine, you don't understand the work that you're doing. And that, you know, it plays a pivotal and vital part because we had persons pass during the Junkanoo season.
Mm-hmm.
These persons' family was able to call me and I was able to pull up videos where I interviewed them in their space doing what they love the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this really happened over the same period. Chad Ferguson from one family, his family, Bobby Davis and all of them, they lost him in the Junkanoo shack during the season. I interviewed him. I had mm-hmm. to literally pull the information out of him. And I said to him, I said, listen, Chad, only you in the shack, we talking. I don't care what you say. I ask the question, you just answer.
Yeah.
You got to worry about it too much.
Don't worry about prettying it up.
Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. And it's so important for the public to really see the kind of work that the Junkanoos put into this for what we see on Bay Street to happen so quickly.
And like you said, documenting them in the space, right?
Yes.
It creates an environment where you can see their intelligence at work, right? They're not necessarily going to write a paper. They ain't going to UB to give a lecture. But you see their intelligence, right? Just blooming in that space that you may not see it in any other space. Oh, this is fantastic. Because I'm thinking between Access Accelerator and the SBDC, the port, the school, the unit for public and oral history at UB to document and preserve, right? And then let's figure out how to monetize a sustainable year-round product that changes every year because you have new content to add every year along with the commentary, right? The general commentary surrounding Junkanoo. Okay, so I found two stories, producer. We can go to the phone line when you're ready. I found two stories from yesterday's papers. Colors named Boxing Day winner, Justillian says, that's the Nassau Guardian. And Fancy Dances miss out after title reversal, that's the Nassau Tribune.
Yeah, and I see you reading the headline, and I wanted you to pause and forgive me. And
I'm
glad you look at me, right? Rowan mentioned that she did a review.
Mm-hmm.
On this year's Junkanoo. And before we reach there,
mm-hmm.
I want to give a summary of your views or your organization views of this year's production. First, the pros, then the cons, and then advice.
That's where we were going, right?
Okay.
This is about an appeal on a decision. But I thought it was a no penalty parade. So I was going to ask you to give us your rundown, just like Nuri said, of Boxing Day, New Year's Day parade, this part of the season as a whole.
Yes, and then we go to the penalty, because I want to hear about the penalty.
Then we go to the specific story. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so again, you can join us. The Facebook page is Junkanoo Rush. Just type in Junkanoo Rush. You'll see the sign come up. Every year, literally after I do Junkanoo 365 days a year, and every off parade, I normally critique every parade. So what it does, it allows the person or the Junkanoos to see where they are falling down and to pull their socks up. And I have watched it really worked because I've seen the changes, especially in music, especially in choreograph. Mm-hmm. You see these persons, what I talk about in these briefs, they change them up or they listen because they know, well, listen, I'm the person. I know about Junkanoo. I know what I'm talking. I wrote a lot of the programs and the stuff that you see happen on Bay Street in terms of when we talk about judging, certain things to look for, certain things to look for in the costuming. And so what I normally do this year for Boxing Day 2024, I wrote the brief, but this year I decided to do a live this year. And trust me, when I told you the questions were coming in, I just couldn't catch myself. Now, let me give you my quick overall view for 2024. Well,
give me 2 seconds. Let's go to this caller dead quick. The caller just shaking his cowbell at me all red. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning, caller.
Yes, I don't mean to be disruptive.
That's okay. This is Junkanoo. We're talking Junkanoo. Okay.
But Junkanoo has already been monetized. Okay. But it's monetized outside of this country.
Ah.
I believe the trademark for Junkanoo is not the property of a Bahamian. I think that's something you all need to check out, too, also.
Okay.
Even the trademark itself. Now, Junkanoo does not need the government. Junkanoo does not need seed funding. Junkanoo is a global product. And I think we got enough brains in the JCNP and those associated with Junkanoo to understand that we can do this, okay? We can do this. You know, if we get as half as effective as the people in Trinidad are doing with Carnival, Junkanoo would have no financial problems in terms of, you know, waiting on us to eat money. But, you know, I think our biggest issue with culture historically in this country is when the politicians get involved, we find ourselves getting shot in the foot, on the head, or whatever, wherever it lands. Now, you know, I'm very interested in the documentation your guest has assembled because, you know, it reminds me of the words of my late friend, Jackson Burnside, says, you better know what you're looking at. You got to know what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, until Junkanoos know what they're looking at and they see and the potential of Junkanoo is way beyond these shores. You know, it's just a great place. Anyway, I'll be listening.
Thank you. Thank you very much, caller. Okay. So normally you do a written brief, Ms. Roll, from Junkanoo Rush, but this year you went live.
Yes.
Thank you so much, caller. This year you went live.
Yes.
Let's get into it.
Okay. So you want to talk about Boxing Day first.
Yeah.
Let me do a brief overview of the good in Boxing Day. No, I'm going to do the bad first.
Okay.
I'm gonna
no
talk
problem.
About the good. Okay. Normally, like I said, I get on Bay Street. The parade started at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think the 9 o'clock time played a real effect on the parade this year because when I got down to the gate, when I went through the back streets, there were not much people in the back streets.
Okay.
We normally go live to let you see how they put the costumes together and everything. I noticed Genesis, I must give them props for that. Genesis organization was absolutely in the gate. Mm-hmm. They talked about it on Facebook. Listen, Owen Stubbs, big up to Owen and the team and all the rest of them. You know, they say, listen, we coming out the gate first. We can be there early. They was letting you know the trailer's there, you know. And people don't understand it takes a lot to, the mobilization have to start from in the middle of the day. So when you're having Junglu at 9 o'clock in the night, when you still have family, you're still doing family time through on Christmas Day, it played a major role on these particular parades. Because at 9 o'clock, the stands was in full. When I say the stands, Russell Square ain't had nobody in at 9 o'clock. I don't know if because who picked the numbers first caused that effect, or because the family situation caused it, and plus the mobilization of everybody getting there at a certain time. Now, the parade itself, even from when you first get the parade, from Frederick Street straight to Charlotte Street, the bleachers was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, that's not really a zone. That's called the hole. But they're still paying patrons. And I always tell Junkanoos, you don't have to max out yourself in that first zone, but you still give a performance.
Pardon?
No, hold on. Let me finish. Okay. Now, see, if you ain't never touched the road, and say in a major group, then you wouldn't understand what I'm saying.
Listen, I touched the road group.
Hold on.
Shockers was a major group, and they let us touch the road with them.
Okay, but cost no more? With major cost no more?
Here's what I'm saying.
With lead pieces being
If I'm a paying patron, right?
Right.
I don't care if the only thing I could afford is the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if by the time I try to purchase my Rawson Square tickets, because I had to wait for my government paycheck to come in, they were all sold out. I want to know, I want to feel in my heart that Junkanoo group is prepared to give me down here in the hole the same experience they gain. Unless it's a Shirley Street performance, which is better to me.
Well, Shirley Street is better because there's no time limit. You're going down and you just want to kill it and get the
lap finish.
The Prime Minister Cup. Okay, uh-huh. That's a cup for that. Yeah, yeah. But let me, before I lose track, because
going
in my mind.
The hole, the gate, the lining.
Right. Okay, so the hole, the gate, just for the public to be aware of it, there is from Frederick Street to Charlotte Street that is called the hole. That's where you line up and everything, mm-hmm. and you gear up yourself to get into the gate. The gate starts at Charlotte Street. That's where the judges are. Now, you have penalties and eligibility before you get in there. And I think this year it was done by the task force. Normally, I think the judges used to do it previous years. It's now being done by the task force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Eligibility therein tells you whether you qualified to get qualified for the parade in the end, qualified to get scored in the end. Okay? That's eligibility. For the A division group, is 201. Okay? You have to have so many off the shoulders, so many free dancers. You have to have a brass section. You don't have to have two lead piece, so many step downs.
Now, hold on. I have to have a brass section?
You don't have to have a brass section.
But
brass, it makes you, gives your groups a little bit more elevation.
Get it. But if I were able to produce that level of sound to compete with another brass section with other instruments, I could do that. I wouldn't be penalized for doing that, right?
No, you shouldn't have to be. It comes as a part of the music. But remember now, in Junkanoo, I wouldn't say just brass. I would say backline.
Okay.
It plays a major effect when it comes to literally music. Mm-hmm. Remember now, Behemoth is like the bride. Music really play, and music have gone through 10,000 levels this year in the Junkanoo world. Because you got people on Facebook right now fighting back and forth, but who win and who lose and all this stuff. Okay? See, there's so many things you got to talk about, Nuri. So when you're in that gate there and you're performing, when you reach Charlotte Street is when the judges are literally judging you. You don't know who's judging you for what. You don't know if the judge is coming to you. You don't know if they're judging costume. You don't know if they're judging music. You don't know if they're judging lead piece. You're not supposed to know. All you know is Junkanoo is the theater. You're putting on a performance. When you get there, you're supposed to be introducing yourself to the person where a child 5 years old could understand what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the spirit of Junkanoo lifts you and elevates you to another end. Notice a lot of times when you see people reach midway, they start to get tired. That's why the practice is so important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, because you have to build up that endurance to be able to do that 70 minutes or that 60 minutes to get you from Charlotte Street. But these days, they start from late Navy Lion Road, mm-hmm. because down in the back there's where all the fanfare and you hyping up yourself to go into the boulevard itself to be get judged. But then it starts from all the way back there. So imagine
building up the energy.
Building up the energy, the hype to get you straight across mm-hmm. the end of East Street on the eastern end now. Mm-hmm. The eastern end to finish. And so right there, that's 70 minutes in there. You have to have about 1,000 people. Some groups have 1,000 have to do that. Some have 600, some have 400. Some have 300, some have 200.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, I spent the best years of my life trying to make it from one end of Bay Street to the next. So we didn't shame the BEC Shockers. So I get it, right?
Like, I get it, but y'all didn't have on any. Y'all wasn't talking nothing.
We was talking pride.
Pants and shades.
Look here, you see all the Conky Joe people on the road. We was talking pride.
Well, I don't remember BC Shock and having a bunch of Conky Joe people.
That's because we used to sneak in. We do Shirley Street on our own as a scrap group. And then sneak in with the BC Shock because they would invite us in to rush with them. That's against the rules, eh?
No,
good stuff.
No, but I want you to continue.
Yeah, yeah.
I highlight the things that went bad you said you're doing.
Yes.
And then I want to hear
okay.
what went good.
So, you know, you see how we run all over the place when you're talking John Canoe, right?
Yes.
So anyhow, so for that particular parade there, you had a few things going a little bit disreal. But the basic part of that parade is the level of it was a little flat with the crowd enthusiasm.
Because of the 9 p.m. start.
Not only the 9 p.m. start. We don't realize it. The spirit of John Canoe flows in the stands. Okay? Mm-hmm. Many people may say, with the situation with the world-famous Rally Boys and the Rally Boys Way Forward, when the crowd's coming down, they don't know if the show... Well, who this is? Well, which one this is? And so every year, if I don't know how many times you'd be in the Bay Street, you would hear one side the roar, Saxons, Rally, Saxons. All the other groups have major fans. Mm-hmm. But the height of the excitement was not there on Bay Street. And it fell flat.
Right. And I don't understand why people don't get this, right? Because we grow up in Lakers versus Celtics town.
Right.
It is the rivalry, mm-hmm. right, for the spectator. Like, you got your team and you got your team, but for the broader spectator base, if the Lakers and the Celtics ain't playing in the championship, why are we watching?
But hold on now, Aaron. I want to say this. Not only all of the groups, One Family, Genesis, okay,
mm-hmm.
Roots, all of them have their major fans.
Yeah.
Everybody have fans. But the excitement, and not only that, the number picking too, I think, Nuri, plays a vital role in who's coming out first. Okay? So,
right.
you know...
the fans are coming to be there for their group.
For their group.
Right. But also, Roots, Genesis, the idea is they want to beat the Valley and the Saxons, right? And so this approaching it is like, well, the Valley could do what they want, Saxons could do what they want. As a group, you could think that way, but then you invisibilize the spectator. You create distance between you and the spectator because the spectator wants to see the rivalry. For it to wake the Valley at... Right, like every year we come out and we say, the Saxons, we're going to destroy the Valley. But you can't destroy them to death because the spectators need the Valley to come back next year to fight for the title again. Right? And so, you say, like, I love that.
Mm.
The energy is in the stands.
It's in the stands, yeah.
The spectators.
The spectators. And then it was a nun. It was a nun to the gate. So you can imagine coming on. You feed off what is in those stands. You feed off that, what are in those stands.
Yeah.
And you could feel the energy. You know when you do the fan wave, when it goes up Bay Street and come back down.
I know we have callers on the line too, but who was the first group came up for the 2024 Boxing?
Genesis.
Oh, Genesis.
Actually, in the A Division.
Right.
In the A Division?
Yes.
Okay.
And in the B
Division? I mean, the first one on Bay Street. That's
right.
What I meant. That's the A Division game?
No.
The B came up first.
Yes, B A B A.
Who was the first B group?
I have to look for that.
The reason why I asked, right? You said the fans was flat. The very idea that a B group came out first and people said, man, this is my group. I ain't really interested. That surely that temperature permeates down to when Genesis comes from. I said, well, the excitement ain't there. We're trying to find what was the reason. I don't necessarily think that the separation of two Valley boys is the reason, because Valley was there.
Right.
They should be in there to support whichever Valley they want to shout out.
Yeah, but see the timing, like again I said, the number picking.
It's
when they are lined up to come on. Now, more persons were in Rawson Square. More persons were in Rawson Square area versus the gate or versus where the first zone starts. Like it started to fill up like around 11.
Mm-hmm.
Like people really started to come in. But you know, it hurts the group, just like Genesis coming out first.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts the group because you want to feel So you want to still feel the energy, energy off your phones.
So 9 o'clock ain't a good time. That's what you're trying to say.
9 o'clock. I don't think 9 o'clock is a good time.
So we know that nowadays, 9 o'clock is not a good time because Bohemians come out at 11.
No, before you say that.
When I say 9 o'clock is not a good time, we have to think about all the families, like I say, cutting off. Mind you, it used to be a 12 o'clock time. The time normally is 12 o'clock, you know. It used to be 12:01. Other parades, we switched to 6 and 8 p.m. time because of weather. But on those weather situations, it was not Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas Day in itself, I think, played a pivotal role in what happened.
What do you recommend? Because I'm getting confused now.
Okay. When I say recommend, I recommend we stick to that 12:01 time.
Okay.
I recommend.
So I understand now.
Okay. Right. So I think we should stick to the 12:01 time, mm-hmm. because Junkanoo is a nighttime and it's a spirit parade. Mm-hmm. And so you didn't
at midnight.
It's
still night, 9 o'clock, but still.
No, but spirit don't come out at 9. I know that because my grammy tell me be in bed by 9:30. But it could work if we bring the spectators in. I bet you a whole bunch of people didn't know Junkanoo was starting at 9. Didn't know in enough time that Junkanoo was starting at 9 to make adjustments to their Christmas Day activities.
I think the JCNP broadcast that enough. I did a lot.
Yes.
I always share. One thing I always do is make sure the public knows the time. Okay. Where to get the ticket.
Let me ask this
question. Hold on. Before you go, let me talk about sharing enough because this is a broader issue. When people are advertising, when we used to advertise with flyers and walk around the place and hand out mm-hmm. flyers, right? Mm-hmm. They say you got to hand out 300 flyers before you're going to get one person to attend your event, right? So if handing out flyers is the way that you advertising, then you got to hand out 3,000 flyers mm-hmm. to expect 10 people at your event, right?
That's ludicrous.
It sounds ludicrous, but that's what it is. And I put to you that the JCNP underestimates sorely the amount of notice that needs to be given for such a significant cultural shift. Like you say, it's Christmas Day. People already rooted into their routine. I think it's possible. I don't want a 9 p.m. festival. But it's possible. And the question I'm going to ask you is, within the JCNP, is there a mechanism that could provide an economic incentive or even a contract to market this new shift in Junkanoo? Because it's, like you say, it's not just a time shift. It's a cultural shift. But it'll take energy.
I see we have to go to the caller, right? But my concern is Junkanoo in the daytime. If it doesn't start at 9, right, to get the majority of groups to be doing Junkanoo at night. Starting
still,
at 12 o'clock,
it still means that
it can be morning.
Right, but just to say that, you know, I'm not really a part of the JCNP. Like you say, mm-hmm. I oversee.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
the question that you asked, that has to be answered by the JCNP itself. And, you know, the JCNP consists of all members of all the different Junkanoo groups, including A, B, an individual and fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that they would have to think about. They would, after these parades, I know they do a postmortem, and so all of these things happen when they come together and make decisions and review and see what happens and see what adjustments have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to the caller for quickly, and then we go back to Ms. Rule. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Go ahead, girl, once. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Erin.
Morning, morning.
Good morning to your guests. I'm agreeing with Erin about the notice being shared out of the time for the Junkanoo start time, because I had a few friends that came in on a yacht who had intentions to attend Junkanoo, and they just got into we got into conversation on it, and they were saying, on the 26th, how they were they going to wear, and how. So I said, hold on, you would miss the whole thing. It's actually Junkanoo starts at 9 tonight. They had no idea. So they had to return to the boat and got dressed to head out to Junkanoo in order to, and they did enjoy it themselves. They came home the next morning. But when I saw them, and they said they really enjoyed it, and they thanked me for the information, because they were saying it's for the 26th. So they had no idea of the time frame in which Junkanoo was supposed to start out. So I think that type of information needs to get out there. The minute Junkanoo season starts, that information needs to be out there with the start time of Junkanoo and dates.
Thank you, caller. Thank you very much. Okay, so back into the parade. We're going to skip over the question I have is, because daytime Junkanoo, 9 p.m. start. Mm-hmm. 9 p.m. start still didn't prevent us from going into the daytime.
Yeah, because it was backed up, and that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about, too. The back streets of the parade for the Boxing Day parade caused a log in the timing. And so it weren't like many gaps. The gaps were being filled in by a lot of B groups and a lot of fun groups. But the back area in the back there by McDonald's and stuff, I think they were having something on the port, and it had the traffic flow coming out of the port.
What do you mean the traffic flow coming out of the port? So okay. JCNP moved the parade start time to 9 p.m. and the relevant authorities didn't. I mean,
this is my understanding. Now, I saw, I went around the back to try to figure out what was going on, because after Genesis gone down, another beat, there was no Prodigal Sons. And so when I went down in the back there, this is Boxing Day now, tried to figure out, okay, so what's going on? That's the first time in the history of me really doing behind the scenes that a whole group gone down and I was able to walk in the back and to see what was happening. Because I was like, what was going on? But I'm understanding that Prodigals had some problems getting their stuff down, as well as Music Makers. All of them lose their turns, but they were filled in by other groups. But it was a lag during that period where they couldn't get their costumes in. The road was blocked up going around.
With vehicular traffic moving through the area?
Moving on the back roads to get from, I think traffic was coming out, persons was coming out from the port area in the back there.
See, this is just another point about notice, right? Because on Boxing Day, late in the afternoon, going into the evening, right before the sun went down, we were traveling up Shirley Street, right? And we expected to see signs indicating that parts of Shirley Street were still closed. No sign. You just had to figure it out.
You mean Boxing Day gone?
Yeah, Boxing Day gone. I mean, that's a basic...
Well, actually, Shirley Street had a late start, too. There was no action on Shirley Street 9 p.m. Normally, the B division starts at Shirley Street at 9 p.m. should start.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. It was no action on Shirley Street.
Absolutely. That's amazing. So now I'm thinking, when I'm watching the broadcast, I'm watching news outlets indicate that a group like the Prodigal Sons didn't make it to Bay. The presumption from the statement was that they were disqualified, right?
Right.
From the statements provided through the media and the broadcast.
Well, actually, I was live in the back there, and so a lot of persons tuned in. That was said that they were there, because what I did is, in my live, I was able to show that they were not there in the gate, but their costumes and everything were beside where the British Colonial, their lead piece, so they were literally still there. Now, they had a rule, I think they changed, that when you lose your position, you come after the last group. Or you try, you understand what I'm saying?
Right. But I'm saying the broadcast from our news to the official ZNS live broadcast at Junkanoo, the first indications were that several groups didn't make it.
Yeah, that was like discouraging, they were disqualified. To the groups.
But what you're saying is that perhaps through access to your footage,
right,
the group was able to petition and say, look, we were here, but because of extenuating circumstances like traffic that should not have been flowing in that area, we were unable to get our pieces and our full performance body the gate.
Right, and see, that's where the task force came in under the JCNP, because they were able to pick all of that up and report it, you know, to the chairman, and they were able to come on.
Right.
And ZNS, they did an interview to say, yes, they're there, but they just would come after. But I was there in live time to report that, listen, they are here. It's just that they have lost their position because of what was happening in the back there, and their lead pieces in there. So in that case, because they couldn't get sorted out there, the next A division group was then One Family. And so when I went live from the back with One Family had a whole parade going on in the back there. You're talking about a whole rush out in the back there through that street. If you didn't go on Bay Street there at Junkanoo, you could have gone in back there and watched a whole rush.
So they were able to mobilize and get to the gate to fill the gap.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is important to me, because they switch up. The whole parade looked like it switched up in the front of our face. First of all, it was announced that groups were disqualified. They didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was announced. Then we saw the groups performing. Then we were told it was a no penalty parade. And perhaps they made a decision to make it a no-penalty parade because of all of the logistic issues,
at the back.
That occurred in the back.
Ms. Rowell, I do have a guest on my next period, right?
Right.
But if you can stay, half an hour, I can squeeze you in and finish your this part information, and then ask my guest to tarry a little bit.
Right.
I see we have phone calls. I'm not sure if you're able to take them, because we have 7 minutes.
We can take the calls.
Go ahead.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to your guests at GA.
Morning.
Yeah, the GA, Jane and Quick. I have a proposal for John Canoe, a white paper I want to on John Canoe. We start the groups at the McDonald's area.
To line them up
properly and into the hole. We take the groups down to Elizabeth or Victoria. Victoria has a larger resting spot and drum heating area. Or we go through Elizabeth and come around to the east on Trinity Street, onto Victoria, back onto Bay Street, and we take the parade off. We eliminate Trinity Street. We put bleachers from all along the length and breadth of Bay Street to the new City Poitiers Bridge, where we culminate the parade at the Eastern Parade. But we're able now to put bleachers all along Bay Street and barricades, and the police have a more secure area blocking the corners. Checking everybody that comes to the parade. And we make John Canoe a straightaway parade, like most parades in the world. One straightaway parade. We rest through Victoria or Elizabeth, and then we can continue east onto Bay Street, onto the parade down there.
Where should it end?
At the Eastern Parade.
How do you get out? It's a lot of logistical.
You go back up Dowswell Street. Walk yourself back up Dowswell Street.
No, it's a lot of logistics
to that. Go through Elizabeth. Okay, let's see.
We got you. But you say you get ended at the Eastern Parade.
Yeah, we come back.
And they say how you
at Victoria.
So just straight down. They say.
Yeah.
No Shirley Street.
No Shirley Street.
So
yes.
One lap.
Straight down.
One straight
road.
Long straightaway.
Yeah, my daddy talked about that to me. The same thing.
Okay, thank you very much, Carl.
Yeah.
Right, because to me, I hear resistance across the board from John Canoes at the idea that the groups themselves have to figure out how to be more efficient in the movement of people, goods, and the services, right? Like, they have to figure out how to maximize their movement in the limited time given. But are John Canoes prepared? Do they have the capacity to tighten up their mechanisms? Because I mean, my personal experience is Bernard Green to pick us up, wrap us up, drop us off on the side porch. John Canoe is not for cheering. You got to be able to move quickly. I see him. I see you call us. You got to be able to do what you want to do. But the junk. I see the time too, Mr. Newry. You can cause me the John Canoe here.
I just said.
But we.
Go ahead.
You almost caused me to decide to sit here in silence just now. The point is, through all of the conversations that we're having about John Canoe, the John Canoes themselves seem to be most resistant to the easiest resolution or the easiest element for them to manipulate or adapt or change, which is moving themselves more efficiently through the routes available. From your perspective, your years of John Canoe, I'd be saying that that's just impossible to think the John Canoe groups could tighten up and move faster, even if it's moved faster from the Christmas dinner table to the shack to Bay Street, move faster from like the docking station to the gate to the end of the parade. That is the one element that we can control, but it seems everybody is resistant to that to the point where they just say it's impossible.
Okay, so you could imagine yourself as a junkanooer, not just the free dancers, the off-the-shoulders, the lead pieces and all of that, starting from where the caller starts,
from the
Easter parade. You could imagine, you know how much time that is?
But just,
without a rest period? A rest period?
Right. Okay, it's junkanoo.
You're
supposed to be the gods among us.
It's not going to. You have to think about the body. You have to think about the role and the physical and mental that is going to play on the John Canoes. That 70 minutes is just from. So 70 and 70 is what?
140.
Okay, see how much minutes that is?
That's, you can imagine 2 hours plus.
Rushing with those...
But they have to... The one element they have is getting faster. I mean, that's...
Faster how? What, in terms of beat, speeding up the beat? Speeding
no, it's speeding up the foot movement, moving faster, making the group smaller so that they could move faster.
So you're trying to say they should limit the amount of persons? I mean, that was a hot topic on Facebook, saying cap the numbers of group.
Absolutely. The numbers. Absolutely.
But still, 140 minutes?
Listen, but here's the thing. By the time a group hits... By the time they hit the Rum Cake Factory,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's Bacardi. That's right there.
You'll have two other groups on the road rushing. So in terms of time, no. you're not waiting for one. In terms of the time of the parade, you could have three groups, one coming out the gate, one in Rawson Square or just past Rawson Square, and one entering the Eastern Esplanade all at the same time. The second thing is this. I mean, the wear and tear on the body... How much beer these by them drinking before the parade?
I think junketing should be 2 days. That's what I think. I think it should be more than just 1 day. 1 day for B, 1 day for A.
Okay.
That's how I think it would work better like that, even with the same time restriction. Another thing is I see with those bleachers on the side of the parade, it caused the parade to be too clustered. The
Which makes it difficult for the people to move through.
So I feel 2 days. Not just 1 day. That's just my perspective on it from being on the ground, from being outside and being with my nose to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than just 1 day.
See, okay, that's the music playing. Callers, call back on Nuri's Hour, please. He's going to accommodate the conversation a bit further. But for those of us who remember looking at Junkanoo as a child, we used to think there were giants under those big costumes. We'd say, what type of man it take? What type of a tree of a man it take? To walk down Bay Street, to rush down Bay Street with these big costumes on. We already believed y'all were gods.
No, we're not that type of god to be silly and hurt yourself in the process.
Well, for extracting $35 million out of the economy for just two parades, that's a lot of that's like God status salary. That's a lot of money to pull out to then turn around and say to the broader public, there ain't nothing we could do.
You don't know.
And the response is, you must see, don't understand Junkanoo. You don't know. But we got to keep talking about it because Junkanoo is us. This is the thing we never stop talking about. And I hope you continue to come back, Charmaine, the Charmaine role, to continue discussing Junkanoo with us and understanding the importance of the mm-hmm. elements
yes.
that are there. Right. We could row, but we can't row until we know what we're rowing about.
Exactly.
That's what Jackson say. You gotta know what you're looking at.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is coming up next. We're going to continue this conversation, and he has another exciting guest on the table for us. We'll be right back.
Then has a new line, the Sky series of porcelain. Comes in four colors, Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Pinder Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of four in the Sky series.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300. Rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.